As we get closer to the legislative session in February, lawmakers are crafting bills to put forward. And recently, facial recognition at supermarkets has been flagged as a real problem. In fact, Norwalk-based Senator Bob Duff was recently quoted saying he wants to change state law, better protecting people's privacy and nixing the technology altogether. We are speaking now with Jim Cameron, who's the author of Talking Transportation, that column that runs in CT Mirror. And he recently highlighted, it's actually called Big Brother Facial Recognition in AI. And he kind of talks a little bit more about this. Joining us now, Jim Cameron, back on the show. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, Melissa. Thank you.
So what I thought was interesting, Jim, is in the very beginning of your article talking about this, which I will link it to your podcast at the end of the show, you go beyond just supermarkets, right? I mean, when we talk about facial recognition in these cameras, these are types of tech that are kind of all over the place. All different types of stores really have this.
Absolutely. I mean, I was kind of chuckling when all of this news came out about Wegmans using facial recognition, because people are getting a little upset about something that is just a small part of this larger surveillance society in which we live. I mean, when you go into Wegmans, yeah, they're taking a picture of the plate on your car, your license plate, when you come into the garage, then you walk into the store and they recognize your face. But, you know, even before you got into the supermarket and were scanned by Wegmans, you had a cell phone on, and the cell phone was pinging your location everywhere you were driving. And once you got into the store, it continued to follow you around in the store. Are you looking at the steaks? How long are you looking at the meat counter? What are you buying? What kind of things like that? So the really insidious thing is that once they know who you are, they know everything about you, everything you've bought in the past, online and in the stores. They know where you live. They know what your demographics are. And the really frightening thing is that now that they have price tags on foods that, not necessarily in Wegmans, but other stores, can be changed almost instantaneously, what's to stop a store from saying, this guy looks like he can afford a little bit more for that steak than, you know, the person of lesser means? So I'm a little concerned that we're getting upset about, one particular supermarket when our entire lives are being monitored like this.
Well, and that's just it. I think you bring up, many points here, Jim. But I want to go just kind of back to the basics, something you said in the very beginning, which is I don't remember a time where there weren't surveillance cameras in stores. I mean, I can vividly remember being a kid, and I'm in my mid-30s, but I can remember being a kid and my brother and I loving that we ended up on the camera, because you could see like when you're standing in the line going through whatever store it was, whether it was the grocery store. I mean, I can remember, you know, like seeing myself in the reflection of the camera or the little screen that shows what's coming up on the camera. Like we were like, oh, we're famous in the store. I can remember this for decades being there. I vividly remember it. And so it's interesting to me that this has become, I get it though. I get that we're afraid of kind of Big Brother. How much is the government using? What is this going to be used against me? But I do believe it's sort of hindering the real crux of the issue, which is, do we trust who's using that technology? So for example, if stores are using it, I think it makes sense. When you go into a bank, you go into an airport, you go into a major arena, they're also using those facial recognition technologies. Like, they're using it. And I think it's fair, because I'd want to know that if there's somebody dangerous or somebody who's committing a crime, you can A, find them, and B, have proof of them, give it to the police and find that person, reprimand them, all that. But I do believe there's a balancing act here of kind of Big Brother, and are these technologies important? Like, do we need them? I think that's really where we're at, and do we trust the people who are utilizing them?
And what are they going to do with the data? I mean, that's the other thing that concerns us. And that's, you know, as you're driving along the highway, okay, listeners, hello, you're out there on 95 or the Merritt Parkway crawling along. There's cameras out there as well, too. They're really used to help traffic enforcement, but they're not scanning your license plates yet. They could very easily do that as well, too. And what happens to this data? I mean, how long is it stored? Is it shared with other people? I mean, we see this with the company called Flock that has license plate readers.
Don't.
Well, they got license plate readers in most towns in Connecticut.
Yep.
I put a link in my story in CT Mirror to a website you can go to, and you can see where the Flock cameras are in your community. What are they looking for? Are they looking for people coming into, you know, your town and they don't like them, or they've got a criminal record, and do they dispatch police officers to find those people in their towns? I don't think so. It's a rather, you know, frightening technology, not only because it is so efficient, it recognizes people, it recognizes license plates. But what happens to that data after it's been collected, and who is it shared with?
But again,
there is proof,
Jim,
that Flock...
Yeah. No, go for
go
it.
Ahead.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, I think it comes down to who do you trust. And the reason I went don't go there with Flock is because, I mean, Jim, you're very busy and you have your own work to do. But I've been heavily following what's going on with the Bridgeport City Council. And I know you highlight this in your article. I've heard from the police side, the city council side. We had Flock on our show this month, actually. And they don't work with the federal government. They're like, we don't do contracts with them. We work with municipal police and fire departments, EMS. The problem is, though, is once you give that technology, it's do you trust what they're going to do with it, to your point? And that's really the issue. To me, you're correct. More than 50% of our police departments, or our cities and towns, I should say, use Flock technologies, mostly for license plate readers, and people don't even realize that. But the issue becomes, do you trust your police department not to abuse that data that you get from those technologies? That's, to me, the issue.
Well, and there are reports that Flock shares its data with ICE, for example. And they're not only taking pictures of license plates, but they're also taking pictures of demonstrators who are out very peaceably doing their thing, exercising their First Amendment rights. Should they be doing that? Should they be taking pictures of people in Bridgeport who might be having a march down on City Hall to protest a particular policy? I don't think so. So
I don't think Flock's doing it, though. I think it's the police who are doing it. Like, they're using those. If they decide to do it, once you give them the technology, it's whoever is controlling it. You know what I'm saying?
You have more faith in the local police departments than I have in Flock, for example, because we don't know what Flock is doing with data once it's been collected. Is it being shared with the feds? Is it going to be used for ICE enforcement efforts in a city like Bridgeport, where there are probably a lot of people who are living in fear right now?
No question.
Wondering if they're going to be swept up off the streets. So the Bridgeport City Council, as I described it, a moment of fiscal restraint, initially decided not to accept a $500,000 contract covered with state funding to put drones, Flock drones, up in the sky to not only respond to, you know, activities on the street that take a little longer to get to with an actual police officer, but, you know, what are those cameras looking at? I mean, that's the concern I have. So, yeah, go to Wegmans, do your shopping, if you will. I mean, you'll probably find the same technologies being used in other supermarkets as well, too. And they claim, I think quite correctly, it's because there's been a lot of shoplifting and a lot of criminal activity in stores, and they want to have a record of, you know, who came into the store, not necessarily what they bought, but more what are they doing in the store? Are they actually, you know, going through the checkout or just walking out the front door?
Yeah, I mean, and I thought you closed your article perfectly, Jim, which was, if you think privacy is around, or you said privacy is dead. I mean, the idea of it, what I think is also very ironic is we live in a world where the average person has no problem going to their multiple social media platforms and sharing pictures of their kids on the first day of school with the name of their teacher, their favorite color, their favorite everything, and giving all this very important information about their kids. Again, innocently, right? I mean, they're proud of their children, which is beautiful. But in the meantime, I don't think people realize how much they share about their own lives. And if your concern is facial recognition walking into a store, but you're not concerned about how much you expose on your social media pages, that to me is a disconnect as well. I mean, privacy is just I just think that's a thing of the past. And I do think there's a double standard there a little bit.
Well, and all the things we reveal about ourselves in social media, are used to help identify us as well, too.
Sure.
And I think we have to be a little more cautious about what it is we post about ourselves in such a public forum, because that can all be scraped, put into the same database and say, oh, yeah, this is Jim Cameron. Right. That's the guy that posted those things and said those things about Trump on Facebook. Maybe we'll just keep him on a special kind of watch list as well, too. I think we just have to realize we don't have much privacy. As I wrote in my column, you know, privacy is dead. Our lives are an open book. And the only question left is who's pretending not to read that book?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question, Jim Cameron, and I so appreciate you highlighting this. And again, I think it's a great article where you talk about that when you see more and more of this type of technology emerging, I think situations where, you know, I can't disagree with you that people have every right to ask questions about, well, where is this data going and what does this stand for and what does this mean for me and am I being compromised? I think everybody has that right to ask it. But, you know, going back to the very initial point of your article where you talk about cameras being used in places that are public, I mean, again, I think that it serves as a deterrent. I think it serves as a way to, you know, in regards to combating crime and finding people who are committing them. It is interesting that we kind of put all of those into the same category, all those technologies into the same category. I think to your point, drones being used versus cameras in a store, I think those are very different and they deserve very different conversations. And if laws are going to be crafted to look at our protecting people's privacy or not exposing people wrongfully, I think they deserve to be looked at separately. I don't think they should all be lumped in together.
I absolutely agree with you, Melissa. Something you got to keep an eye on and be aware of. And, you know, just turn your cell phone off. You can't exactly hide at home. You have to go out and do shopping and things. And you can't walk into Wegmans wearing a Groucho Marx nose and a mustache. You know, it's an open society in which we live, and Big Brother is always watching. We just hope Big Brother behaves himself. That's all.
Jim Cameron, always appreciate the work that you do. Again, author of Talking Transportation. That column runs in CT Mirror, and we will link his latest article to his podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Thanks for your time, Jim.